May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. All week in liturgies and Bible studies, this has been the first question. Who messed up the readings? Why in heaven's name would we have that gospel this close to Advent? Who messed up? Here's some comfort for you. It's always my fault.
Oh,
that should set you free. Ultimately, you have to care, I guess. Today, it was on purpose. It was on purpose because today we celebrate the reign of Christ. And the profound difference between what we see as important and significant and life-changing and what Christ sees as important and life-changing is so astounding that today's reading reveals the reign of Christ for, in our lives, those who are important, those who are powerful, those who are influential, get to sit in the big chairs at the front. Jesus did not reign from a throne, but from a cross. His humility, his grace, his compassion for others shone through even on the cross. In the midst of his own suffering and his own misery, he was able to extend compassion and forgiveness to those around him. Now, some of you recall from the reading, one of the other thieves hanging on a cross nearby was mouthing off. He was saying all those kinds of derogatory and negative things that we hear about the church and about the Christian faith in our culture today. I want to invite you not to get sucked in to the dysfunction, but rather to respond as we are called to be more like Jesus every day. He turns to one of the thieves and he says, "Lord, remember me in your kingdom." And he said, "You will join me today." It was a promise that when someone is willing to admit they're wrong. Do you all remember Happy Days? It was a huge television series, but after a while, you know, a couple dozen seasons, the ratings started to fall. And the producers got together and said, "We've got an idea. Let's get Fonzie." Do you remember Fonzie? Mm-hmm. We all wish we had that much hair. Let's get Fonzie in a situation where he's got to admit that he's wrong. It took three episodes for him to say, "I was wrong." Three episodes, and the ratings went through the roof. Thousands of people wanted to see Fonzie say he was wrong. Were any of them aware of he was acting? We want others to admit they're wrong. But how very difficult it is for us to admit when we're wrong. Not only to admit we're wrong, but to apologize. Jesus' last words to another human being were, "I will see you in the kingdom today." Words of forgiveness. Words of forgiveness. In a world where everyone is supposed to be gorgeous and brilliant and rich, let me give you an example. The images that we place forward in our social media, as well as the communications, even of a magazine rack in a mall. You walk into the magazine rack, and I promise if you look at the 40 or 50 magazines that are advertising in that rack, Nobody in any cover of any magazine is ugly. No headline says, "Don't bother." Everyone is about the secrets to worldly success. Everyone's about how to look better. Everyone is about how to redefine your meaning and purpose. And in Jesus' last moments, he made sure that his mother was cared for, that his disciples knew that he cared for them, and that he prepared for those in need. Even the thief on the cross beside him, he extended kindness and grace. I was supposed to do a seminar this weekend, and it was postponed. And so I had Friday night off. So Joyce and I went looking for the Christmas tree that the outreach committee is sponsoring. And we would have done really well, but I had the wrong mall. I was...
Wrong.
Then I got into the mall, and I was talking to Joyce about certain of the things that were scattering in my head about this morning's homily. And this gentleman approached us and said, "Come here." I was trying to be polite, and I need to share with you that in public, when I'm in blue jeans and a t-shirt and a baseball cap, I don't always tend to be polite, which makes me...
Wrong?
Thank you.
Wrong.
So on this occasion, I chose to agree, and this gentleman wanted to show me a product. He's one of those stores set up in the middle of the aisle. And he says, "Mister, you need to sit down," which is never a good beginning. And he said, "Are you aware of the endless lines on your face?" And what ran through my head, she's not here, is, "You're lucky you didn't say that to my wife. She would have decked you." I said, "I am aware that there are a few lines that I have earned in the last year on my face." He said, "I can make you gorgeous." I started to giggle and I said, "Good luck." He said, "If you could change anything, what would you change?" I said, "I'd like a new nose." He said, "We can't do that here." I said, "And I would like to transplant hair from wherever it to up here." He said, we can do a start." And he pulled out what looked like a needle. He said, "I can get all of the lines on your face to disappear." Really? You see, this is where I get a little agitated and irritable, which makes me...
Wrong.
Yes. And so I sat very still while he used this stuff on my face. How stupid was that? And the lines on my face vanished. I mean, vanished. And then I began to feel something. My face felt like I was wearing a mud mask. And he said, "There will be some tingling and then some burning, and then you'll be fine. And this process only takes about 3 hours. I turned to Joyce and said, "I'm never coming to a mall again." Now, I got to tell you, what you see is what you get. I'm aware I'm a genetic cesspool, and I'm proud of it. I'm aware that I probably got not necessarily the top quality of everything that parents and grandparents could give you. And you know what? At my age, I just don't care as much as I used to. But when he started to fix my face, I just wanted to know what the hair product was. How fickle. How temporary. How and mature. Wouldn't we all want to look awesome? Wouldn't we all want to be perfect in every single way? And yet, that's not what our Lord and Savior calls us to do. What he says is to be humble, to be faithful, to walk with your God, and to live as close to the example of Jesus Christ, to the extending of love and compassion and caring for others as you possibly can. Because when some future priest does your funeral, and don't you dare while I'm here, I mean all of you. When some priest does your funeral in the future, how will they remember you? Will you have been gorgeous and wealthy and well-educated and trained, or will you be something more important than that? Faithful. Dedicated to a faith in Jesus Christ where you think of the needs of others and respond to those needs. As we approach the Christmas season, there is a distinct possibility that one or two of you will encounter somebody that is really struggling with their life. There is a distinct possibility that at least one or two of you, if the statistics are correct, 50% of this room, will encounter somebody struggling with their mental health issues. I would have absolutely no right to stand up here and talk about mental health issues if my family was not keenly aware of what it is to live with somebody with multiple suicide attempts. Where mental health issues lived at our table my entire life, where our family had to come together again and again to figure out how it was that God would allow that member of our family to struggle like this, forgetting that what God was allowing was us to come together as a family to be supportive and loving and compassionate in the midst of someone struggling with mental health issues. Some congregations would prefer that this was never spoken in church. But I am totally convinced that there is an epidemic in our nation and that we need to walk alongside those who are struggling with their mental health issues in this time and in this place. And that they need to know that this is a safe place to be honest about who they are. To know that the hurts on the inside are often much more severe than the hurts on the outside. And that Christ has promised us that we are never alone. He is with us every day, every step of the way, in the midst of it all. Whether we be the victim or we be those who are supporting those living in the midst of this moment. It's really much easier to live with a body that doesn't work than a mind that struggles to experience the realities of every day. Know three things. God is with us in all things. God gives us the strength to be present and uphold and support those around us in need. And finally, what you see in the mirror is not who you are. It's just the encasement of the extraordinary human being you are on the inside. And for Almighty God, It's what's on the inside, not on the outside, that really counts. Remember, it was the one who was spoken to him. Jesus, how much do you love us? And as we celebrate Christ the King, we know Jesus' answer to that was, I love you. This much. Amen.